Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert. I'm sitting across the table from my wife, Bianca Reichert. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We just watched The Snowman.
Yeah.
The 2017 psychological thriller starring a pretty good cast.
Yeah, really good cast. Michael Fassbender, Charlotte Gainsbourg, Chloe Sevigny.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, of course.
Yeah, it's a lot of talent went into this movie here. The guy who directed it is the guy who made Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which I've heard
is a good movie.
I heard nothing but good things about it, and you know, starring Gary Oldman, I heard that's a great performance. So lots of good performances and talented people were in the orbit of The Snowman.
So if you put it all in a pot, you should come out with a delicious movie, right?
Oh yeah, it should be delicious to begin with. But we also have Martin Scorsese attached as a producer.
Oh,
so at
yeah,
this point,
like the secret seasoning.
It's a surefire winner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, when you put all your seeds into the harvesting place in Fire Emblem and it gives you like the projected output and it's like it rates it.
Mm-hmm.
This would be like a high rating. Like this is the projected output of The Snowman,
at
given
least
the ingredients.
It should be.
Yes, it should be. So, is this, where do we start with this one here?
Well, where did the movie even start? It doesn't even know where to start.
Okay, well, let's just say here, if you couldn't tell from the tone, this should be a good movie. I think it's a bad movie.
It's really bad.
It's bad, but, like, I think there's a good movie that could have happened here.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know, the core story, the way it's presented is really dumb at times and complicated, but I don't think there's anything that was like, there's no like glaring plot hole stuff or things that don't make sense. I think by the end it's like it's pretty clear what happened.
Not really. I mean, so I guess we could just jump around here, right? Because
yeah, well, let's lay the quick groundwork here by saying Harry Hole is the name of Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, that's Michael Fassbender plays Harry Hole.
Yes, of the apparently a
of the holes.
Yes. Harry of the Holes. No, it's from a Norwich. I knew before I said it that it was wrong, but it sounded funny. So a Norwegian novel series, the Harry Hole series. I guess it's like, you know, like a Bond or something where it's like, hey, it's an anthology.
He's no Bond.
Yeah, it's, I guess, okay. So I was reading about the book series, and I guess Harry Hole, first of all, in the books, it's pronounced Harry Hule. But in this movie, they just say Hole, because I guess the character is based on a Norwegian town called Hule, Norway.
Okay.
And that's how it's pronounced in the books. But I guess they just decided, like, hey, we're just going to go with Harry Hole.
Well, they should have gone with a different first name then.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Harry Hole.
Harry Hole, which is said out loud numerous times in this movie, is a silly, silly name.
Oh, it's bad.
Also, in the books, he's supposed to be like a Sherlock Holmes level of like brilliant detective, which that doesn't come through in this movie at all.
No, he pretty much just like finds Katrine. Work that she's been doing and just kind of like he's kind of skeptical of everything she's doing, and then he uses her clues to make progress.
Yeah, he hacks into her at the weird police
hacks
station.
Hacks into it, just opens the back of
her. I was going to say, yes, that like it's this weird police station. He just takes a wooden panel off the back and Where do we start with this here? Rebecca Ferguson plays Katrine. She is like the she is a fellow detective on the case of this snowman killer, named as such because there are creepy snowmen staring into the many windows.
So okay, I know how like a lot of movies will show a flashback that'll give some information that you really don't understand until like a later point in the movie why it's valuable, but this movie does that. And you don't know why that flashback is valuable until the very end of the movie. Because, and for a lot of movie, I was trying to connect what I was seeing to the flashback, which I realized was pointless to do. Because you have no idea who this kid is in the flashback until the end of the movie. You have no idea really what the situation is. And then when you find out what it is, it doesn't really make any sense in a satisfying way. So it's about this serial killer, the snowman killer, called as such because he leaves snowmen everywhere. And the flashback, it has him as a kid Living in the remote Norwegian mountains with his mom for some reason. We have no idea why they're isolated from everyone else.
No.
And this guy pulls up and he's like, oh, Uncle something is here. And the mom's like, oh, it's not Tuesday, so it can't be him, but it's him. I don't know why that detail was. And then, so he's homeschooled, and I guess this guy, Uncle whatever, is testing him, and every time he gets the answer wrong, he, like, beats the shit out of the mom. So I would think that the kid would be resentful towards this mysterious uncle guy, who he shortly after learns that I guess the uncle was having sex with the mom. So is the mom having sex with the brother?
I think it was actually implied at the very end that the uncle was his real father.
Mm-hmm.
And so because like we'll skip to the end here. Harry Hole is like, no, you shouldn't have been mad at your mom who killed herself.
Right.
You should be mad at the father who, like, you know, you were just inconvenient to his life, you know.
Yeah, so it doesn't make any sense why this kid would, because his mom killed herself, he would take all this out on like, live trying to get revenge on the mom when she's the one that did everything for him, that cared about him, and it was the shitty father that abandoned him.
Yeah, and I feel like it was telegraphed in a confusing way, because it's like, it's obvious that, okay, they showed that kid making the snowman in the flashback. And so I thought it was pretty clear that, like, okay, the same fucking snowman with the coffee bean mouth and everything is showing up before all these murders. And then also, all these women that are getting killed are women that, like, had kids but had relationships with someone who wasn't the father mm-hmm. and everything. And so I felt like it was really kind of clear about halfway through the movie. It's like, okay, that was the flashback. That kid's the killer. Obviously, he has some weird resentment towards his mom, and he thought his mom was sleeping with this other guy, so now he's killing people like that. And so I was kind of waiting for it to, like, have some sort of twist or some sort of surprise reveal as far as who that kid wound up being.
Mm-hmm.
But it just wound up being, like, the doctor guy that Harry Hole's ex is with now.
Yeah.
And it was like super, like, that guy wasn't like a huge character by any means. No. And he wasn't an interesting character.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like swerves. Like, for instance, J.K. Simmons is kind of positioned to be the evil mastermind here, but his character ends up being completely pointless.
Yeah, they do a bunch of like flashbacks and weird history to like him growing up, and he had connections to Katrine's dad, Val Kilmer, which we will get into that. But I feel like a lot of screen time is given to J.K. Simmons and his weird like pimp abortion doctor guy.
Mm-hmm.
That all just seems to be like a big red herring.
Yeah, I think so. Also, speaking of things that we can't really overlook, the windows in this movie.
Yes.
It's like they constructed offices and homes just specifically for this movie, because the amount of windows, like, do Norwegian people not care for their privacy at all? It's absurd the amount of windows in this movie.
In weirdly placed windows, yeah, where they're like up by the ceiling, so the kid has to like stand on a thing to peer in and watch his mom sleep with the dude.
Yeah.
And like, also, it's convenient that all these windows are there because all these snowmen have to like stare in to murder mm-hmm. scenes or look at women in their bedrooms or something.
Also, I haven't made a ton of snowmen in my life, but it's not really a discreet practice. It does require you have to gather a bunch of snow and re-roll it around, especially if you're like a tall guy. I feel like you can't really do that discreetly.
It's a bad calling card. A calling card is called that because it's something you can just leave at the scene of the crime as you're leaving,
mm-hmm.
not something you have to like roll around a yard for like 20 minutes to set up and then carry a bunch of coffee beans around in your pocket.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess the coffee beans are there because...
Oh, yeah, and the flashback. Yeah. Which, okay, the flashback is a really bad flashback, too, because there's nothing to really indicate what time period it's in when the snowman killer is young.
Right.
Because it doesn't say, like, oh, Norway, 1965, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a scene, and it could, I mean, that could be set in 2019, for all we know. But then all of a sudden, it cuts from that kid watching his mom die, to Harry Hole waking up on a bench. So for a while, I thought, like, oh, okay, that
Harry Hole
had a bad upbringing. Jesus fucking Christ. There's a lot of, especially in the first half, a lot of Harry Hole waking up on things.
Yeah, okay, there's so much in this movie that's just presented and then not addressed at all. When, like, in a movie like this, a movie where they're investigating a serial killer, I feel like every clue is kind of valuable, or at least it should be. But in this movie, it's just so, there's so much stuff that you don't know whether it's valuable or not. For instance, when Harry Hole wakes up in this weird empty shack right by a bunch of kids playing. I have no idea where
in
that could possibly be.
A cemetery park or something in Norway?
I have no idea. And then he's like back at his apartment, which is like a nice apartment, but it's being fumigated and there's a dog there. I guess he didn't know it was being fumigated, but he doesn't seem to care because he's not wearing any kind of like gas protection, gas mask kind of thing.
No, and he grabs a pistol from his like record shelf and shoots at the pest sprayer guy, and no one sells it at all. It's just like, hey, what's up? I'm spraying for pests. I'm in your apartment, and you got no warning whatsoever.
Yeah, so despite having this apartment, he still sleeps on the street sometimes. The whole drunken aspect of Harry Hole here is not really explored.
Also, I'm laughing every time you say Harry Hole because it's a funny thing to hear.
Yeah.
It's even funnier to see written out, which you see on envelopes and stuff numerous times, and it made me laugh every time. It just says Harry Hole. It's like, come on, guys. It's a film. You don't have to be that faithful to the novel. Change his fucking name, or at least pronounce it Hule. So,
or spell it as such.
Yeah, just don't say Harry Hole that much. Yeah. That's a very silly name. Fuck. Also, I knew from the beginning when they first like show the police station, I think it's when like Katrine is there, and they're talking about like the device they use to like take pictures, and it's like their police iPad, basically.
Right, but it's this huge, clunky thing.
It's like the size of a PS4 Pro,
yeah.
This thing they have to carry around, but it's set in the modern day, and like it was filmed in 2016. It came out in 2017. Like Touch ID iPads and stuff were very much a thing for years before that. Why did they have to do this whole thing where there's a scene where they're like handing them out like, hey, we got these new devices. It's going to check your fingerprint. And of course it pays off later because he cuts off Katrine's finger and uses it to hack in and delete everything that I guess was never uploaded to a cloud or backed up to.
But it doesn't matter at all because they still find the guy like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why they had to take time to explain what that was and show it. They show it as much as like they show MacGruber carrying around his car stereo. It's just like it's a big plot device that doesn't have to be.
Right.
But fuck, okay, there's the first woman that disappears, the woman that, in her, like, nightie is laying in bed with her fucking 20-foot-tall window completely open
to
the elements.
Yeah, it's a ground floor bedroom, giant window that, like, goes the length of the bed, so if you're just walking past, you could see this woman, the entirety of her body laying in bed reading a book in her nightie, with, like, really bright lighting and everything.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure because, like, she has this big fight with the dude who is implied to be, like, the husband or like, the ex. Because she comes home from a thing, and he's like, you said you were going to be home a while ago, and he storms out. So I assumed that they were exes that lived separately. And then she disappears, the mom does, and then when Harry Hole comes to investigate, that little girl, Josephine, who's, like, 6 years old, is she just home by herself?
I have no idea. She's home by... She appears to be by herself in the garage filled with a bunch of power tools.
Yeah, wearing a horse...
Wearing a donkey mask.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the first things we hear Harry Hole say is, like, ee-haw, ee-haw. Like, yes. it's so strange.
Yeah. And then, okay, so we go from that to, again, they're really fucking bad with their flashbacks here. We cut to another corpse is on this, like, ski mountain. And again, the timeline, it's just very unclear what year it is.
Oh, yeah, they don't. So I realized since Val Kilmer's alive that it must have been a while ago, but they don't address that at all. There's nothing that says, like, oh, 10 years earlier or whatever. I thought it was modern day, and they just found another corpse that's been severed in a bunch of places.
Yeah, nothing about the fashion or technology or anything tells you it's a flashback.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I just realized, like, so Val Kilmer's character... His head was shot off in the same way that the doctor's head was shot off.
Yeah,
right?
Later. Yeah.
So is it implying that it's the same killer? Because how does that make sense?
I think they are because he also found a woman chopped up and after the first big snow. So I think that Matthias, who winds up being the snowman killer, I think he's been doing this for a while. And so I'm guessing that Val Kilmer, those flashbacks were like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, which I guess could check out. Matthias looks to be like upper 30s or 40 or something. Mm. Like that could be the case.
It could be. Most serial killers are around their early 20s.
Okay, yeah. So that would all check out. But I think we just got to talk about the Val Kilmer shit here. So it's unfortunate, the reason, but it doesn't change the fact that it's really bad for a movie. Mm. So Val Kilmer had just had surgery for, I think he had like throat cancer or some kind of surgery.
I'm not laughing at the fact that he had surgery. Go ahead.
Right. We're laughing at the fact that...
They still included him in the movie.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, recast it. If the man just had... He has an enlarged tongue because he just had a tough surgery.
Yeah.
So they have him in it. And I like Val Kilmer a lot. You know, Dieter von Kunth himself, Batman Forever, great filmography. He's excellent. But he had an enlarged tongue, so he couldn't really talk well. And so they did ADR, but they didn't do ADR once, like, his tongue was normal and he used his normal Val Kilmer voice. It's just some other dude doesn't sound anything no. like Val Kilmer. So in the few scenes he's in, it's either the back of his head while he's talking and not sounding like Val Kilmer, mm-hmm. or you're looking at his face and his lips aren't matching his mouth and it's not Val Kilmer's voice.
Yeah, it's really poorly done.
It is so distracting.
It's just another
weird.
Wrinkle on how terrible this movie is. Like in its own right, that's a pretty great thing that might make you question the quality of the film. But taken in its entirety, this movie is so confusing and convoluted.
Yes.
And for what is kind of a simple story, it's mm-hmm. just a serial killer. It's not a particularly complex story. There's a little misdirection.
No, fucked up kid with a bad motive, you know, grows up and kills people.
Yeah, but it's like we saw Rebecca Ferguson in Mission Impossible Fallout. Like, that is a dense story that you have to pay attention to with all the double crossing and everything. But, like, this is it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think in something like Mission Impossible, you are supposed to be kind of, like, in the dark sometimes. Like, oh, look at all these double crosses and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is, like, it just feels like it's the fault of the filmmakers and not, like, a complicated plot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, again, the plot is not complex, but you keep cutting away to this shit. It's like, wait, why are we doing this stuff where J.K. Simmons is taking pictures of women's boobs at fundraising events for this fucking... Like, they keep cutting to the side plot of, I don't know if they just can't legally say Olympics, but it's very confusing because they're like, no, Oslo really wants to get the World Cup Winter Games of sports, winterish sports. Like, at the fundraising events, there's, like, hockey guys running around on skates right. and stuff. It's very confusing and none of it ever pays
off. Oh, yeah.
Off.
So J.K. Simmons, I guess, was, I don't know, if having an affair or involved with some girl who ends up going missing. So I guess that's supposed to lead us down the thought process of, like, maybe it's J.K. Simmons that's the killer. And it was really funny because I think it's when they – was this Val Kilmer era or Harry Hole's era? When
the fundraising events?
No, like when they handed the magazine clipping to – I think it's Michael Fassbender. I think it's Harry Hole's.
It is Harry Hole's, but it is showing the guy that they had flashbacks to that was talking to Val Kilmer. So that guy had been in the picture.
Right.
He, like, sold his business or whatever to J.K. Simmons. Right, and right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they hand Harry Hole's this picture, and it's, like, perfectly bent, I guess, to be, like, a bookmark. And it's a picture of the girl and that guy that was talking to Val Kilmer in the flashback. And when he unfolds the page, there's J.K. Simmons. And the girl is, like, looking right at J.K. Simmons. Like, her eyes are completely pointed to the right. And, like, she's looking square at him, like, in this really suspicious way.
Yeah, it's, like, clearly supposed to make the viewer think, like, oh, J.K. Simmons is involved in this thing. Which he's just... Is he in any way?
He's not. He's just a weird guy. I don't know if, like, he might... If it's supposed to be some kind of side plot where, like, he is using this doctor who performs abortions to collect wayward girls for him to have sex with. I don't know. And also, the implication that a girl that gets an abortion is some kind of, like, girl you can take advantage of is just fucking mind-boggling to me.
Right, especially when it just has no tie to the plot whatsoever.
No.
It's like it doesn't serve anything.
They were at this gala, this, like, I guess fundraising thing to get the Winter Games in Oslo. And at one point, Katrine, like, catches J.K. Simmons in this room alone with the doctor. And the doctor has this young woman with him, and she's, like, wearing this dress. And she's obviously really, like, meek and scared. And J.K. Simmons just standing there grinning. And the doctor guy, just, like, takes the girl, pulls the girl's sleeves down so her boobs are exposed.
Yeah.
And then J.K. Simmons takes a picture of her. And then says, like, what the fuck does he say? He says, like, you're a fucking idiot or something.
I don't remember.
It was something weird that, like, didn't go anywhere. But then he just walks away. And, like, that's never addressed ever.
And then it's
like, why is he taking pictures?
He does that directly. And so at the fundraising event in public, Katrine is, like, trying to seduce him to get to the bottom of some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as they say goodbye, he just puts his phone with the flash on directly in her face. Just takes a picture of her. Also, at one of those fundraising events here, where is it? I wrote it down, sorry. At a fundraising event, Harry's boss, who's just some, like, cop guy, I'm sorry, Harry Hole's boss, mm-hmm. goes up to Harry Hole, and he goes, like, homicides? And he goes, nah, it's just missing persons for now. It's like, you just found a severed head on a snowman.
Yeah, and this is, I remember I was really confused, because this was the scene, like, right after that flashback, but we didn't know it was a flashback, when Val Kilmer finds that body on the mountain, where it's, like, diced into, like, 8 different pieces.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the next scene, and he's just like, oh, it's just a missing person. I was so confused.
But this is also right after the Chloe Sevigny anything where they found her fucking head.
Yeah. So oh, yeah.
There's a weird thing where a woman's reported missing, and so they go up into the mountains in a chicken coop or whatever, and Chloe Sevigny's, and they're chopping chicken heads off, and then they're like, okay, it seems like you're alive, we're gonna leave, and then they get another call. It's like, no, 2 minutes ago we got another call that she's dead or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they don't follow up with her husband at all, who's supposedly making these calls.
Yeah, and they come back to the house, and Chloe Sevigny's there again, and she's like, oh, no, sorry, I'm her identical twin. It's like, what the fuck was that whole thing?
Why not just use a different actress, first of all?
Yeah, I guess you're just on set in this remote mountain. It's like, I don't know, Chloe's here. It's just, well, we don't have anyone else.
Maybe Chloe's... I'm sure Chloe's running rate is a little higher than the average actress, so maybe they just wanted to make the most of her.
It's really... Because it's such a minor character. Yeah. That, like, why would you hire a fairly well-known name to do that? Oh, also, this is completely separate from everything, but the fucking concert that Harry Hole takes Oleg to...
Oleg is his ex-girlfriend's son. Right. He's not the father.
He's kind of a father figure, I guess. I guess it's a running thing that, like, oh, all these women that are dying had kids that had, like, constantly changing father figures. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, Harry was one of the father figures that Oleg has had to deal with while his mom was dating around or whatever, mm-hmm. because he doesn't know his real dad. So Harry takes him to this concert, which is so baffling. Like, I want a whole side plot about this concert.
Wait, let's set up a little bit. So it's Oleg's birthday, and the first we hear about this concert is when Harry Holes gets to his apartment for the first time when it's being fumigated, and he sees these tickets on the table, and there's a little post-it that says "For Oleg" on it.
Yes.
But even Harry Holes looks confused by it.
Yeah, like, but I mean, he's the one who got it, presumably, right?
So I assume it was for a performance that Oleg was looking forward to seeing or something. But then they go to this concert.
Which, the concert appears to be at, like, an arena. Right. Like, a big venue. Had, like, a huge neon sign outside that you would expect, like, I don't know, like, Guns N' Roses to play or something, you know? And then they go in, and it's just one dude, looks like, just kind of hopping around in a t-shirt, grunting and stuff into a microphone.
Literally screaming. Like, not death metal screams. Like, screaming.
Yeah, just weird, frantic, irrhythmic, you know, screaming. But it's in this giant arena, but the crowd is this, like, super disinterested, but also spaced out. Like, if a band was playing an arena that size, they would be a very in-demand band. If someone's playing, like, MSG or something. But I feel like every other seat in this crowd is empty.
Well, I don't think this is MSG-level arena. But it was a concert venue. I don't think it was an arena-size stadium.
Okay, I thought because of the big sign outside, I thought it was like, oh, this is where, like, you know, the hockey team plays. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a hockey game at first that he was taking him to. But it's just, like, a mostly empty crowd, and the people that are there are just, like, barely paying attention while this guy hops around and screams.
It's so weird. And then they never address that again, either.
No, I guess it's just trying to show Harry Hole, I don't know, bonding with Oleg or something.
Oh, you know what I was wondering about? So early on in the movie, Harry Hole complains about not being able to get enough sleep.
Yeah.
And Matthias, who at this point we don't know is the killer, prescribes him some new kind of sleeping pill. And so I think Harry Hole is taking the medication. I'm really not sure what
he was.
I'm not sure what the deal with that is, because then Charlotte Gainsbourg or Raquel. She goes to him and she's like, you couldn't find another doctor? Like, she's upset about it. It just doesn't make any sense.
It wasn't this illicit thing. They were literally at, like, Oleg's hockey game, just talking and playing data. Like, oh, I can't sleep. And then Matthias is like, oh, write your prescription. Yeah. It wasn't like this big, you know, seedy thing.
Right.
Also, there were little side things that never really paid off in any way. Like, when they go to Chloe Sevigny's Chicken Mountain House or whatever, that hot butter popcorn song is just blaring.
Yeah.
And so then later, Harry Hole comes back to his apartment and the pest guy is listening to hot butter popcorn and he's like dancing all weird and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then you see him leave and he walks in front of the actual pest guy who we met before.
Convenient.
So it's very clear that, like, the murderer just, like, goes around to places and blares hot butter popcorn while doing evil guy stuff.
Yeah.
But it's... like, that doesn't fit Matthias's character, because when he sees him in Harry's apartment, when we see him, he's, like, dancing all wacky-like and everything, and, like, that doesn't fit anything about what we've seen of the Matthias character. And why is he just blaring that song, whether he's murdering a woman or, like, sneaking around Harry's house, and what was he doing in Harry's apartment?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't pay off in any way.
Yeah, and it's so specific, too, like, the having to find women who don't have their kid's father in the picture. It's, like, such a specific thing. I would think it would be more just, like... oh, blonde women that vaguely look like my mom, you know?
Yeah.
Also, that mom suicide scene was kind of funny, too, because, like, she drives out into the ice and is just blankly staring ahead. and Maddie's realized something's wrong, and he like puts the car into like, I don't know, parking brake or something, so it whips around, and then the ice starts to crack, and he gets out of the car and he's like begging his mom to come out of the car. But like 2 seconds later, there's already like the car is filled with water. The water is up to her face like 2 seconds later, before the car is even under the ice. Oh, that's a good point,
because there is the big dramatic, like, it splashes into the water thing, but it was, like, filling way before that. Yeah. So there was no... How was it slowly sinking when it was sitting on top of the ice?
Yeah, it's... I don't know. You told me that, and I read that 15% of the script was not filmed. So maybe that explains some of it, but I feel like adding any more to this would just make it more confusing.
Yeah, I mean, if you expanded upon the scene where Matthias is disguised as the pest guy in Harry's apartment, like, whatever, like, if that fills in some plot hole, I don't think filling in any plot holes or elaborating on any makes this a good movie.
Yeah, there's too much talking in this movie.
And the characters are boring. Like, Harry Hole is supposed to be this, like, fucking Sherlock Holmes guy. He just seems like some dude that drinks a little bit, but, like, the alcoholic stuff doesn't really pay off. Yeah. It's like, they show him sleeping up on stuff a few times, but it's never like he seems like this tortured soul alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he's talking about, like, oh, I'm an addict, and oh, I was selfish. And I think they were trying to do something where the killer was trying to show Harry his sins and that he's his self. Because remember, he loosens up, so he's got Raquel at the end, right. And he's got his crazy weird cutter tool around her neck, and he's quizzing him the way he was quizzed as a child and everything. And when Harry admits to being selfish and not having room for people in his life, he loosens up. But I don't think any of that shit played at all.
No.
Like, they didn't really devote nearly enough time or effort into showing us that Harry was this, like, selfish train wreck of a guy.
Yeah.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Yeah, it was bad. And the whole Katrine stuff. So Katrine was interested in this case. I guess she realized that it's the same guy who killed her father. So she kind of had like a personal vendetta. And I guess if that was exposed, then she wouldn't be allowed to participate in the case. But she consequently like keeps a bunch of really critical information from Harry Holes. I don't know. But she ends up dying too. And they don't show her dying. They show her finger getting cut off. But they don't show her. She's just dead all of a sudden. I feel like a character, like, she was kind of a major character in the movie. Like, that would be worthy of a murder scene, wouldn't you think?
I think they were maybe trying to do a thing where it's like Matthias got super violent and chopped off heads and limbs and stuff to the women that he was angry at because they reminded him of his mother. And maybe her character didn't really fit that description of...
Well, he also shot, like, the entire head off of Val Kilmer and the doctor, you know what I mean?
That's true, and they didn't have anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blew their heads off with shotguns and staged suicides. And, we got a lot of time with, like, Kilmer. Not a lot of time, but we're devoting whole scenes in this movie that could have used elaboration in other places to stuff we didn't need. Where it's like, here's Val Kilmer getting drunk at a party and his voice not coming out while he's, like, whacking off a water bottle and acting like he's going to jump off a thing or something. Like, I guess that was to show that, like, people thought he was suicidal, so people didn't really question the apparent suicide by shotgun when it turned out that that was...
It's bad. It's a confusing, boring movie. It's the worst kind of movie. There's no redeeming quality to it. Unless you count just the actors themselves, that's what makes it even more egregious. The fact that it got, you know, the big names that it got.
J.K. Simmons, Michael Fassbender, and Rebecca Ferguson, like, great actors.
Yes.
And even the actual, like, framing of scenes and stuff, for the most part, this isn't just some, like, trash, you know, C-movie that you found on Amazon or something. Which, by the way, we watched this on Amazon. It was $3.99 or whatever, if you want to watch it on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like competently made in so many ways, but then also ways that are so bad that it makes the entire thing fall apart and not be great to watch at all.
I'd love to hear their window budget in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe
window insulation, it can be pretty pricey.
Maybe that's Norwegian architecture. Maybe there's just a lot of windows going on. It seems like there's a lot of beautiful scenery. You'd want to have some windows showing that off.
That's true, but I mean, really convenient window placement here. I mean, yes. A window inside, an interior window attached to the bedroom where Matthias's mom and I assume uncle are getting it on.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, Matthias based all his kills on, you know, what he experienced early as a child. So he had to find women that raise children with fathers that aren't their own, but also sleep near windows that he can make a snowman stare inside the window menacingly.
Specific.
So it's very, very specific. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I, as you know, I'm all for murder mystery stuff, but there's a way to do it. And this isn't it. Like, it almost felt like everything was given equal treatment, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff was happening, and none of it was given any more weight than the other thing. So then when we finally arrived at the final, like, the finale where, you know, Mattis has that weird choker decapitation gun with Oleg and Harry Holes and Raquel, like, I didn't feel anything at all. I was completely unattached from what was happening. Like, it just, the way the movie treated everything was just so, I don't know. It was all given the same treatment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they never did a good job of justifying the stuff between Oleg and Raquel and Harry. It just never felt like there was much of a connection there at all.
Right.
I think they tried to a couple times. Like, there's the part where Raquel, like, comes in and straddles Harry for a second with his pants on and then leaves. And, like, oh, okay, I guess they're trying to show that they're passionate about each other. But, like, it's none of it played at all.
No, and it just seems so flimsy. Like, the motivations of the serial killer. Like, serial killers, I mean, I can't speak for every serial killer.
But they,
you know, there's, like, a pattern where, like, there's some kind of trauma that happened to them, whether it's, like, a head injury or just the you know, upbringing was questionable. It seemed like he had a shitty upbringing, but I think he'd be taking out on the men rather than the women, you know what
Which
I mean?
Which is what Harry was trying to say at the end. Is like, hey, your dad's the dipshit who, like, beat you and abandoned you.
Yeah,
your
and
mother
he didn't
was
think of that. I mean, like, it's pretty obvious. Like, Matthias went through all the trouble of making snowmen and writing cryptic, you know, notes and drawing little snowmen. He couldn't even just stop for a second and think, like, oh, maybe my ire is being directed in the wrong place here.
Yeah, go to a therapist, dude. Figure this out. You got some misplaced anger here.
Yeah.
Also, was he working with J.K. Simmons? Because how the fuck did he get inside J.K. Simmons' hotel room at the fundraiser? Because remember, J.K. Simmons gave his hotel room to Katrine, and she shows up, and then all of a sudden, Matthias is in there, who didn't seem to have any real connection to J.K. Simmons,
no,
right?
Maybe he was just following her.
How the fuck did he get in that room?
Yeah.
Like, and also, okay, so even in, like, a bad movie, like, I grew up watching so many thrillers and action movies with, like, you know, major clear villains in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always would look forward to, like, okay, how's the good guy going to kill the bad guy in the end?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even in, like, a bad movie, it's like, ah, that's a fun way for, you know, this guy to die at the end of this movie. And so I'm like, okay, give me a good bad guy kill at the end here, because Matthias sucks ass and, you know, Harry sucks too, but I'd like to see Harry kill Matthias.
Mm-hmm.
And he just fucking falls into a lake. That's it.
Just like the mom. How
poetic. The same lake.
But he literally trips and falls.
He falls
down an icy hole.
He shoots Harry from across the lake, apparently. But he was standing in the middle of the lake, it looked like. So I don't know how the fuck Harry didn't see him when he's standing on the lake screaming, come on, I'm ready for you.
It just seems like an unwise choice.
Yeah, he gets winged by a shot and he's down there. Matthias has him dead to rights. And it's like, okay, get off the frozen lake. But instead, he doesn't even trip. It's a totally flat lake. And it shows the hole in the lake that he just steps into and falls. And then dramatically, like, as the music swells, like, floats away to the tomb that holds his mother. And Oh my
God. Also, how convenient is it that the guy investigating the serial killer, like, it's happens to be the guy who's dating his ex-girlfriend, and you know what I mean? For it to be all intertwined like that.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah, what a convenient fucking plot device. That sucks. Again, it's a pretty simple plot when you put it all together. Like, it's just like, okay, this guy, here's his motive. He sucks. He dies. Mm-hmm. But throughout the entire 2 hours of this movie, I was constantly thinking either, why is this happening? Or what is happening? And not in a good plot way, they are making this movie more confusing than it needs to be.
Right. Yeah. I remember, like, we were like an hour in, and I was thinking to myself, like, at this point in a movie, I usually am kind of like pumped to see what happens, or at least know, like, have an idea of what they're working towards. All I could say about halfway through the movie was that there's this killer that they're trying to find, but that's it. You know what I mean? It was just so dense with these details that were of no consequence and, like, just distracting. And the presentation was so sloppy. They needed some kind of cards or something that said, like, 10 years earlier. Yeah. That would clear a little bit up. Val Kilmer stuff, I feel like, was utterly pointless also.
It was. I think they just got Val Kilmer. They liked Val Kilmer and wanted to use him as much as possible. But, like, we could have just explained that stuff or shown a couple quick flashbacks or newspaper stories or have Katrine talk about it for a second instead of, like, multiple weird scenes with him.
Yeah, because, like, I get, like, he serves to make it so Katrine has this kind of conflict where she wants to investigate this murder because it's the same dude that killed her dad, but she really can't because it's personal. But that doesn't really have any consequence either. Like, once it's revealed that her dad was killed by this guy, it doesn't really... Then she dies... Conveniently, she dies shortly thereafter, and we find out who Mattias is, and the movie's over, you know? We find out who the killer is. Yeah, it's fucking so convoluted.
I remember we paused about halfway through, and I said something like, I didn't know it was Mattias yet. But I was like, oh, is this going to be something where, like, oh, he's mad at women who have kids and raise, and then it winds up and he goes after Raquel or whatever. Mm. And that happened. But, like, I expected some sort of twist or fun angle on it where it's like Mattias did not feel like a satisfying twist at all. And again, like you said, that's actually super convenient now that you think about it. Just a bad, like, a confoundingly bad movie, considering it seemed like a whole lot of talent was in the orbit of this.
And just because it's bad doesn't mean that we wouldn't recommend a movie just because it's bad, but I don't even think it's worth it watching it in the, like, it's so bad it's worth watching, you know? I don't even think it's, we could recommend that because it's just so confusing and boring. It's really boring.
I'll say it's uniquely bad, I guess, if that's something interesting about it, is that, like, we've seen a whole lot of bad movies and certainly talked about a lot on this podcast, but this was weirdly bad considering the competence that went into certain elements of it.
Yeah, it was weighed down by, like, just really poor, confusing presentation and stuff. I would not recommend watching this movie, not even for shits and giggles.
No, but if you want to make a podcast about it, you can do that.
Harry Holes.
Yeah, well, that's just one of the 7 Harry Hole novels, so maybe we get Scorsese to open up his bank account for more of these. It also seemed like it was a huge flop, so.
Yeah.
Like, well, it like almost, or actually it might
I
have
been. I think it made like $5 million.
All told, yeah, the budget was like 35 and it made like 43 worldwide or something, so yeah, I think they look for bigger margins on big movies.
Also, it always kind of bothers me when like a movie is set in a foreign country and everyone and everything is in English.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because this was set in Norway, and like there, like no one spoke Norwegian. There was no Norwegian signage.
Yeah, and there wasn't, like, I feel like J.K. Simmons did a little bit of an accent, but God, now I'm sitting here trying to remember if anyone had accents.
Yeah, people had accents.
Did the main people have accents?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm reading Girl with the Dragon Tattoo right now, so that's also set in very much that, what do they call it, Scandinavian countries up there, so a lot of that's set in Sweden, so.
Yeah, there's some, if you want to watch good movies with these people, you want to see Michael Fassbender, Shame, of course,
yep,
classic.
That's a really good one.
Don't watch that one with your parents.
No, there's did you?
No, I watched it alone.
Oh, okay, that's the proper
I was in
context.
The mood for like a sexy movie, and I wanted to watch Crash, but I couldn't find it anywhere, so I was like, oh, I'll watch Shame, and it was there was a lot of sex. It was a lot of sex, but it wasn't sexy.
Sexy is not the way. That is a dark sex movie.
Very dark sex movie.
Yes.
J.K. Simmons, Whiplash, excellent J.K. Simmons
Whiplash
movie.
Is great. When you were saying sexy, were you talking about the NC-17 Crash that came out like a long time
with
ago?
Cronenberg, I think.
I don't remember. Because I know there's the Crash that, like, I think won Best Picture and everyone
hates.
It's
not that one.
Okay, and then there was the NC-17 Crash, I remember being really controversial, like 20 years ago or something.
Yeah, it's a Cronenberg movie, 96, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really want to see it, but it's I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, nothing. Nothing sexy about Harry Hole either.
No, not this Harry Hole.
No, no. Well, most no, Harry Holes.
Most Harry. All Harry Holes. Arguably, he's probably the sexiest Harry Hole.
I mean, I guess. I mean,
he's a good-looking guy.
Sure, that's a sexy Harry Hole.
Oh, yeah. He's the sexiest Harry Hole. There are no others.
Well, there you go. If there's one positive thing to come out of the snowman, it's one sexy Harry Hole.
That should have been the tagline.
Come see the sexiest Harry Hole you can find. Ah, shit. Yeah, that movie sucks.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
So that's it for talking about The Snowman. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. No. And plus, like, I think we had to pay like $4 to watch it stream it.
We did. Yes.
Yeah. So like super don't watch it.
Yeah. This didn't even have the like free with ads thing that like Dracula had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, don't check that out.
No.
Yep. Hopefully we saved you. Well, this podcast is like 40 minutes long, so hopefully we saved you like an hour 20.
Oh, if you want a good Charlotte Gainsbourg movie, I think that's how you say your name. She's in Nymphomaniac.
Is that a sexy sex movie?
That's just a sex
movie. Is it another
movie.
Shame? Is it a it's dark a sex
oh,
movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's about a sex addict, about a nymphomaniac. Oh, right.
Isn't it like 19 hours long?
It is. I think it's like two parts, and each part is 3 hours.
Okay.
It's just a ton of just, and it's super graphic because I think they use like porn actors for the close-ups and stuff.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, there's it's a lot. It's, yeah.
Is it NC-17, I assume?
Oh, I is there a step beyond NC-17? I don't know.
I feel like X is like straight up porn, and I think NC-17 is like, this is just some dark filmmaking, like in some really graphic, like nudity and penetration and stuff like that.
There's definitely penetration, like you see penetration for sure.
I would guess NC-17, because I don't know if you can show penetration in R.
I have no question that in my mind it's definitely not R.
Okay, I would
I
think
don't know if it was X
then.
or NC-17. It probably is. That's I had fun watching that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty dark. Again, not really a movie you want to watch with your, you know, parents and friends, or just watch it alone, maybe. That's how I watched
holes.
It. A lot of hairy holes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It seems, being a sex addict seems so inconvenient. Can you imagine? Like, you would just hurt all the time.
Just on a purely physical level?
Yeah, especially if you're a woman. Like, that would just be so painful.
It seems, yeah, like that would be a rough way to go about your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shame doesn't make it seem any better for the fellas either. Seems like you get to a pretty dark place there.
Her stuff actually stops working. I feel like.
Oh.
It's just she can't feel anything anymore.
I feel like Shame, he just broke his brain, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie is so fucking weird. The stuff with his sister was so creepy. Like, what was going on there? They never addressed it either.
I don't remember. I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't seen it.
It's obvious that they had some weird upbringing that involves some kind of crazy sex stuff because their relationship is so bizarre
in
that movie.
She had a ton of issues too,
incestuous.
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember there's some dark stuff that happens there for sure.
Yeah.
But I remember that being a good movie.
It's really good. Really amazing acting in that movie.
Yes. Unlike The Snowman. Well, I mean, acting's fine as Snowman.
Fine.
It's just a bad movie.
It's bad.
Yes. So that is it for us ever talking about The Snowman ever again.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to thank those of you who listen to our podcast. And if you hear our voices right now, that means that you are among that group. Also, we want to thank anyone
Well, maybe not necessarily. If you're hearing voices right now, that could be something else.
If you're hearing these specific voices talking to you right now, you are listening
Dan
to our podcast.
Dan Rickard and Bonk, then yes.
Yes, you're listening to Painting the Stream, and we would like to thank you. We'd also like to extend a special thank you to all of our supporters through
thank
our listener
support
program. If you don't know what that is something if you go to paintingthestream.com, and you click support this podcast, you can help us out at $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can cancel any time if you just want to do a one-time payment or support for a couple months, help us keep the lights on. We really appreciate it because we do really like watching movies that we normally would not watch and then talk about. We certainly wouldn't have watched The Snowman.
No.
By the way, thanks, James, for the recommendation watching
James.
This garbage movie. So yes, thank you to everyone who supports Painting the Stream, whether by listening or supporting us financially. So that'll be it for this week. We want to let you know to follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. If you want to know what we're watching the upcoming weekend, you can email us. You can email us at Painting. I'm not going to cut that up. Jesus Christ, now I am. No, now I'm not. I just completely broke down. All right, fuck it. We'll leave it in. You can also email us at paintingthestream@gmail.com. If you've got suggestions or recommendations for other stuff to watch, it can be good. It can be garbage. It can be weird. It can be something we have or haven't heard of. We like checking it all out here on Painting the Stream. Mm. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a Bonku.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. You let me get right away from the listener support stuff without the Bonku. That's right. If you support us at paintingthestream.com, we will give each and every one of you, one at a time, so it might take a little bit, a custom Bonku.
Indeed.
From Bonk herself. Bonk, do we have a new supporter this week?
We do.
Who do we have?
His name, believe it or not, is Jesus.
I believe it.
Which on paper looks like Jesus. So
it is
Jesus
spelled like that.
Is, yeah. Jesus, here's your Bonku. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you have a great day, and have a yummy breakfast.
Oh.
Do you know Jesus? He has a big following and died brutally.
Oh. All right.
I was thinking of the...
Of Nazareth.
Yeah, who right. I assume Jesus was named after.
It's a possibility, and I hope he has a longer, happier life.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Some things went south for the other one.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But then I guess he, I don't know. I went to Catholic school. I know the whole story. There's a book I can recommend to you if you want to find out what happened to that guy.
Wait, you know how like there's Old Testament and stuff and mm-hmm. Old Testament Jesus is an asshole?
Well, no. New God. Testament is post resurrection.
Old Testament, there's no Jesus.
Old Testament is a lot of like God, you know, with plagues of locusts and all that stuff. And
so God's
people.
A real asshole in the Old Testament.
And the Old Testament's a lot of that like biblical God angry at people and non-believers and stuff. And the New Testament is kind of like, hey, Jesus wants you to be cool to poor people.
They should have started with that. Instead of the really being mean, super mean.
I'm no expert. I think there's some good lessons in both, and there's some horrifying stuff in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a tricky book. I wonder if anyone's ever looked into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone out there has probably read it. Don't let us know.
No, right. You can go to whole school about it if you want to.
Yeah.
Until fifth grade, and then you get out.
You could go to school. Isn't church at school essentially? Don't they go to the get lessons, psalms or whatever on Sundays?
I mean, I think a lot of people who go to church know the deal and know the testaments and the scriptures and everything like that, gotcha. And they're just singing their praises. And
then
and
the
doing
priest
their...
tells a story about how he was at the grocery store buying milk and he wanted to get something else, but
what? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this.
Well, you know, you want to. Also buy something sweet for himself, but then, you know, he realized, like, oh, I should get a potato, too, instead, because potato is probably more nutritious than a sweet
What the
bunch.
Fuck are you talking about?
Don't they always tell anecdotes?
It's not just about what their grocery list is. It usually wraps back around to why the Word of God worked themselves into a situation. Oh. Or how they remembered how, oh, Abraham would say this thing. Or, oh, then this thing at the grocery store reminded me of the troubles of Job.
Well, yeah, I was going to get there.
You start talking about potatoes and stuff. I thought it was going to be a long walk and we're wrapping up the podcast.
Sorry.
Let's start a religion podcast next. That'll be great for everyone. All right. Thanks, Tom Monda, for the theme song.
Thanks, Tommy.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Bonk, for joining me each and every week.
Thank you for being my husband. I love you.
I love you. Thank you for being my wife. We'll talk to you all next week on Fanning the Stream.
Bye.